Welcome back to The Morning Blend, where we continue our weekly segment with Tom and Noelle Crow. They are our teachers for American Catholic history. Great stories of Catholic Americans who've contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. And today, Father Francis Duffy. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Great to be here. So Father Francis Duffy, he is significant to us today because if you ever go to Broadway and Times Square, in New York City, there's a big statue of him, a Catholic priest in Times Square. It's a 9-foot tall granite pillar with this impressive statue of Father Duffy wearing his World War I chaplain's uniform, holding a Bible, standing in front of a big Celtic cross. Mm. And the statue of him is about 8 feet tall. He's been presiding over Broadway and Times Square since 1937.
Wow.
Just it's such a thing you don't expect walking through Times Square, this cathedral of consumerism, you know. But there he is. Anyway, so who was Father Duffy and how did he merit this? I'm sure that's the question you're asking.
It was really. That was rolling around in the back of my mind. That and give my regards to Broadway for some reason.
Yes, thank you. I didn't have to say it. Yes.
So our story starts in Canada.
In Ontario, Canada. He was born in 1871 in Ontario. He was actually a bit sickly in his youth, which is remarkable considering what he did later in life. He went to school in Canada and, you know, made it to college age, went through college in Canada, and then he came to New York City for graduate school. And it's while he was in New York City for graduate school that he felt the call to the priesthood. So he goes to seminary.
For the Archdiocese of New York.
The Archdiocese of New York. And he was ordained in 1896. Shortly after being ordained, he was sent back to St. Joseph's Seminary in Dunwoody, which is the archdiocesan seminary, and he's teaching philosophy, and he was a well-loved professor because he was considered a Socrates, an Irish Socrates, because his parents were immigrants, Irish immigrants, very much an Irishman, but he was considered an Irish Socrates because of the way he conducted his classes. While he was teaching, he volunteered to be a chaplain. Now, at the time, there was no archdiocese for military services as we have now. The way the Pope did it, he would choose one bishop, one archbishop in each country to sort of be the vicar for military chaplains. And the Archbishop of New York, until the AMS was established, the Archbishop of New York was considered the head of the chaplain corps for the American military. So it was natural enough for him to be within the archdiocese and say, hey, I want to be a chaplain. He also established a thing called the New York Review, which was the first significant intellectual journal in the United States established by Catholics. It brought in articles, really good articles, from important thinkers on all manner of topics. It was doing a lot to advance intellectual life of the day, but it made some people a little uncomfortable, including some bishops who didn't like, you know, interesting ideas. And pursuing new ideas. So, it made people uncomfortable. But anyway, so one thing they did to sort of try and push him off this, they made him pastor of a new parish in the Bronx, brand new Our Savior Parish. And while there, he built a new parish school. He was made pastor there in 1912.
He built the whole parish.
Built the whole parish.
Church. There was no church.
Right. There was nothing there. Front. Yeah. So he built that. In 1914, World War I breaks out. And, now, when he was made a chaplain, he was assigned to the 69th Regiment, New York Regiment, which is better known as the Fighting 69th. It was the Irish Brigade. When World War I broke out, and then eventually it was clear that the United States was going to get involved, that regiment was federalized and renamed the 165th Regiment of the 42nd Division. Back in 1898, during the Spanish-American War, he, as a chaplain, the 69th was sent to the Texas border, Texas with Mexico, the Mexican border. And while down there, he did a lot to help the soldiers, you know, maintain their center and not get too distracted by the things around them. So he had some experience as a military chaplain going down there, and he already established himself as a much loved chaplain. So fast forward to 1917, the United States enters World War I. The 69th gets mobilized as the 165th Regiment within the 42nd Division. Yeah. And they're...
The 69th were interesting because they were also very choosy as an outfit. They had... standards for like weight and things like that for people who came. And while they didn't insist that you had to be Irish or Catholic, something like
80% of them were either Irish immigrants or the children of Irish immigrants.
And 98% of the were Catholic.
Yeah.
So this was the most Catholic regiment in.
And they were choosing about size. They didn't want anybody who was too skinny. They didn't want anybody who had flat feet. They were very choosy. So a lot of men who were rejected by them did make it into other groups that were less, or other regiments that were less choosy.
Yeah.
But they also had, and Father Duffy was a huge part of this, they had an esprit de corps. They had like you are a man of the Fighting 69th. That means something.
Mm.
So when they were over in Europe, they were given some of the most difficult tasks and they took them on willingly. When other regiments were reporting back that they were too fatigued and too tired and too whatever to keep fighting, the 69th said, "We consider it an honor to be asked to take the lead. We are never too tired." And they bore that out.
Mm. So the most, well, I'm probably jumping on Thomas, but the most famous member, probably, of the Fighting 69th.
Apart from Father Duffy.
Apart from Father Duffy, it was the poet Joyce Kilmer.
Yes.
Who was a Catholic convert as well.
Mm-hmm. He was not Irish. He was not Catholic. But he was part of that 2% and 20%.
He was Catholic.
That's right. He converted. He wasn't born Catholic. He converted. Right.
Yes, he was.
You're right. By that point, he was. But he was not Irish. But he was a good example of somebody who just really imbibed. He wasn't born Catholic. He wasn't Irish. But he joined this because it meant so much to him to be part of this unit that had such a reputation.
Right.
And Father Duffy was a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote a poem. The first engagement that they were in was at Rouge Bouquet in France. And there, he wrote a poem called Rouge Bouquet about these 22 men who were in a trench that took a direct hit and all 22 of them were killed. So Father Duffy, he was very much beloved because he was always where the men were. Mm-hmm. He was seen being grimy and dirty and, you know, offering last rites. There was one story where he was at the front lines. He turned over a soldier who he could tell was mortally wounded. And before he could administer last rites, he just broke down crying because this was a boy he had baptized back in New York. Everybody loved him because of where he was and what he would do. He was the spirit. He was the joy of Christ in among his troops.
Right. And in the midst of the battle, like Tom was saying, they would see him administering last rites, but he would also be helping others, bringing the wounded back, helping
between actions. It was said that the confession line is longer than the chow line frequently. because the men wanted to go to him.
There was a story about a man who went to confess, or a soldier went to confession to him, and it was like a really intense confession, and he came out and he's like,
said,
"I'm clean, send me anywhere.
Sign me up for any darn thing.
Yes.
I'm good to go."
Good to go. Super intense confession.
So the war ends, of course, November 11th, 1918. The 69th is still over in Europe until April of 1919. They come back, and Father Duffy's story, because he wrote back from the front lines frequently. His stories were all over the United States. Everybody wanted to congratulate him and give him awards. He was given multiple awards, including by the French government, the Croix de Guerre and the Légion d'Honneur. He went back to parish life. He was well-loved within New York City. He was made pastor of a parish on 42nd Street. I think it was Holy Cross. 42nd Street, which is close to Times Square. And he walked the streets of New York, and everybody knew him. Everybody loved him. It was said that he was the only man that New York City was not too large for. Since he was in that area where all these workers were, he received permission to offer Mass at 2:15 a.m. on Sundays to have Mass for the people coming out of the theaters, the workers. So they could go get some Mass on Sunday.
The workers, but also the dock workers and others whose professions didn't allow them time to make Mass on Sunday morning. He had this really early morning Mass for them to be able to do.
Yeah. So. He died in 1932, and there were like 25,000 people who packed Holy Cross.
Wow.
And like the procession to the cemetery up in the Bronx where he was buried was lined with people. It was a public calamity when he died. And the effort, again, he died in 32. And I already said earlier that the statue has been presiding over Times Square since 1937. Only took 5 years for the effort to fund and design and put in place that massive, incredible, wonderful monument to him. The mayor who unveiled it was the Italian Fiorello LaGuardia, who, of course, has an airport named after him.
I was going to say, people should know that name.
Mm. Yes.
Father Francis Duffy. Well, if people want to learn more about this or other great stories, where can they find you?
You can find us at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.